Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v Ereš intervjuju, torej danes je začel malo poznej, gostimo pa Jesse Lanca, did I pronounce the name correctly?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Mogoče sem še napoved pred začetkom intervjuja, torej Jesse Lanca boste lahko slišali danes večer v okviru festivala Styropor, pred njo nastopi še zasedba Las Kelis, pa dvojec Kalu and Crystallines, oziroma ne vem, mislim, da je tole dvojec, in pa še prej Žiga Murko. Vse skupaj se začne ob 7. v Urban Roofu v Šiški, tako da pridite si pogledat. Tale uvodni komad, ki smo ga slišali, je pa torej en komad z lanskoletne plošče Jesse Lanza, komadu se je rekel pa Fuck Diamond. Zdaj pa kar pozdravljam, hi Jesse.
Hi.
Hello. Nice of you to, you know, come here and visit us at our radio station.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You know, in the last year since the release of your album, which was released, I think, end of last year, you were...
Yeah, September of last year, yeah.
You've been pretty busy touring around the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I read in some interview that your that the feeling you get in your hometown, Hamilton, is that you're kind of remote from everything. Now that you're more involved, you know, traveling the world, do you miss maybe that feeling of being remote from everything?
Is gone? I don't feel that way anymore.
I mean, before you were touring, you were probably spending lots of time at home. Now you
don't. Yeah, I mean, the funny thing about Hamilton is that although it's separate from other big cities, it's kind of close in the same way. Like, it's close to Toronto, which is like the other big, it's like a big Canadian city. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you want to fly to New York City, it's very close mm-hmm. to there. So it's kind of a nice place to get away if you want to.
Probably kind of similar to Ljubljana here.
I think it might be, mm-hmm. yeah, very much similar. Maybe Hamilton's a bit bigger, but I think population size it's about the same.
And so, I think it's a bigger population wise as well, but I mean, as far as remoteness and closeness to other bigger cities goes,
yeah, you
I
guys
think
are
that's
so
a
close.
Bit similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what's the best part of traveling for you?
The best part is getting to play.
Is it just a necessary thing, you know, if you want to play your music? Or do you actually enjoy traveling?
Yeah, I love traveling. I love going and playing in front of different audiences and seeing, you know, what different songs people like and how different people react, you know, because it's such a unique experience. And it's the best part of touring is the audiences and meeting different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about the audiences a bit more later. You know, I noticed that you played at Sommer Festival.
Yeah. A few days ago, yeah.
How was that experience?
It was amazing. It was great. I've never played a big festival before, so it was great. It was really hot, but it was really fun. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was, you know, it was really hot a few days ago here as well, but it got a bit colder yesterday, I think.
Gotcha.
You know, when you started classical piano and jazz music, electronic music festivals probably weren't... something you thought you would be performing at that time?
No, not at that time, definitely not, no.
When did this transition happen for you? You know, coming from classical piano to more electronic-oriented sound?
Well, before I started this project, I had been working on more like singer-songwriter style of music, where I would... you know, go into a studio with friends that I went to school with and like do like, you know, somebody played drums and guitar and bass or whatever, and I play piano and sing. But then I basically just didn't have money to pay anybody to play my music or the money to pay to record. So I had no money, but I had a computer and I had my software program called Logic. So it really came out of me being broke and having to move back to Hamilton and having to just record the music myself and learning how to use the sequencing program and learning that I could program the drums and I could use different sounds myself and didn't have to have other people to do it. So that's when it started, really, was out of having no money.
You know, when you said that you were more like a singer-songwriter oriented before,
yeah.
To me this album still feels like singer-songwriter kind of thing, even though you do it in a bit different way, but...
Yeah, I mean, I love singer-songwriter style of music, and so does Jeremy as well, so I think that influences both of our writing a lot. Mm-hmm.
You know, you said that it basically came out of you being broke.
Yeah.
Now that you are signed to Hyperdub, I guess money is not longer a problem. I mean, if you wanted to hire musicians to record some stuff with, is that something that you would look into?
No.
You feel comfortable working by yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I love working with Jeremy. I love working in small, like, I like working with one other person. I don't know how bands work, really.
You never worked in a band?
And it never worked, you know, so...
You worked as a singer?
Yeah, I mean, I always played in bands when I was in high school, or, like, early university. I worked with, like, a group of, like, 4 or 5 people, but I always feel like there's too many ideas, you know? Like, I think one other person is enough to bounce off of, but too many people, it's just things get complicated.
Maybe that's...
For me, at least, but it would maybe work for other people.
Yeah, but... Well, perhaps you will change your mind in the future.
Maybe, yeah.
It's still quite early on in your musical career for you, isn't it?
Very much so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when did you actually decide to be a musician? You obviously, you started studying piano at probably an early age.
Yeah, my parents put me in piano lessons when I was maybe 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you knew you would be a musician, even back then?
Yeah, I mean, I've always done music. I went to school for music, so I wasn't sure if it was going to work out, you know, being a performer, but I always knew that I would teach music or work in music in some way. I thought that I would be a teacher.
Well, you actually did teach piano for a while, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you miss maybe that, not being able to teach anymore because of the touring and... being involved in the music scene?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had students that I've been working with for a few years, and you get attached and, you know, you get to know their families, and so I do miss teaching.
Was it more like conventional kind of studying?
It depends. I mean, like classical versus like pop music.
Yeah, classical versus maybe... what you are doing now is
now.
Yeah,
I mean, it depends on what people want, what the kid wants. Usually the parents just want the kid
so
to...
You're flexible in that?
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, because usually, you know, music teachers are really strict about what students must learn and how they must play.
Yeah, I had strict teachers when I did classical piano, and I think if you want to be a classical pianist, then you need discipline. But if you want to just have fun, then that's not such a good path. Then maybe.
Right. You know, maybe just one more question related to Sonar. Did you see any cool acts? Other people play?
Yeah, I saw James Holden play, and that was great. We watched...
Like a really dance... oriented set?
No, it was his new music off of his new record, so he had like a saxophone player, and it was like very kind of abstract. It wasn't straight ahead dance music at all. And then James Murphy had a room, I think it was called
with his speaker sound system.
Yeah, it's like this like surround circular speaker system, very expensive, like very high tech, really good sounding room, and I saw Caribou play as well, which was amazing.
You know, you knew Caribou before he got famous because he is from Hamilton as well, right?
Yes, yeah.
He played actually here, I think, maybe 2 or 3 times already here in Ljubljana.
Oh, really?
So
yeah.
So really like his music.
Yeah, he's been touring a long time, so I believe that he's been here.
You know, Jeremy, you were mentioning he's actually... a guy from Junior Boys, who probably listeners know a bit better, Jeremy Greenspan.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know these two guys, Caribou, Dance Nate, and Jeremy, before they got really famous around the world, you know, while they were still kind of local band in Hamilton?
I never knew Dance Nate before. I've only met him in the past couple of years, but Jeremy Greenspan, the other guy who's in Junior Boys, his name's Matt Didymus. His younger sister was my best friend growing up, so I've known Jeremy since I was a kid, basically. So I've known him my whole life, but yeah, Dan Snaith I've only met in the last few years.
But you are touring with Caribou later this year, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
How did that happen?
Well, I did a song on his record, and
the one that is coming out.
The one that is coming out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we worked on that, and then he just asked if I'd be interested in touring. So nice. I think I just kind of lucked out on that one.
Is the tour dates are set? For
yeah.
The tour?
Yeah, in Europe.
Ljubljana is not on the list. I think not.
I don't think that it is. No, but I don't have much control over over those sorts of things. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. Another guy you met was. Steve, aka Code 9 of Hyperdub. You met him through, I think, Junior Boys as well.
Through Jeremy. Yeah.
How did that happen? You know, did you have any thoughts of before you signed to this label? Did you know Hyperdub before that?
Yeah, I mean, I was a huge fan of the label. I really liked Laurel Halo, especially, and. Yeah, I was a big fan of the label, and I met him at MuTech maybe in like 2011, which is like a mm-hmm. really great festival that happens mm-hmm. in Montreal. And I never thought that, you know, he would want to release.
So you were attending these more electronic oriented festivals in the past as well?
Yeah, in the last 5 years is really, it's grown, but before that, yeah, not so
you know,
much.
Because I read a couple of interviews with you, and you always kind of put R&B before electronic music, but you followed both kind of scenes.
Yeah, I mean, I think they overlap for me. Mm.
Well, this new style of R&B definitely, maybe in the past not so much.
Yeah, I mean, I even see like, because like R&B producers and electronic producers, they use so much of the same equipment and so much of the same software that it's very close. For me, like when I think of like Timbaland producing records, I feel like he uses the same equipment as like, you know, a techno producer mm. might, you know.
Is Timbaland considered R&B producer?
Yeah.
He is?
He's a big time R&B producer, yeah.
Yeah. Another record you often kind of pointed out that you and Jeremy had in common was Lifestyles of the Laptop Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
Of Other People Place.
Yeah.
You know, this is James Stinson, project of late James Stinson of Drexia. And he was obviously from Detroit, which maybe isn't that far from Hamilton, maybe about 150 miles or so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like about two hours mm-hmm. away. Yeah.
When did you become aware, you know, of the techno and house scene that was going on in Detroit in the late 80s and early 90s?
I mean, I was too young to have really been influenced by that mm-hmm. scene when it was at its height. But I mean, that record, I didn't find out about until like much later. I think it came out in like 2001 maybe. Mm-hmm. And one of my good friends played it for me maybe like 3 years ago or something, and I just couldn't believe that like I'd never heard
did it intrigue you so much that you went and check out the Drexia catalog maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard of Drexia before, and I'd like Drexia's music, but I never knew about this side project, and it really just, I don't know,
it's
clicked with me more.
It's a bit more a kind of pop sensibility maybe, or funky
yeah.
sensibility towards more mechanical side of his music in other projects.
Yeah, there is something more, I don't know, romantic's not the right word, but yeah.
Okay, you know, this record, I mean, it came quite as a surprise to me because I'm a big Drexia fan.
Yeah.
And this is quite an obscure record and one-off project by James Stinson, so I was really surprised that you kind of picked that one out, you know, out of the whole catalog of his. Since you are into R&B, you probably knew Motown before you did what was going on in techno and house in Detroit.
Maybe not so much Motown, but I mean I love
did you maybe hear any of that stuff through your parents when you were a kid?
like when I think of what my parents listened to, I can only think of Steely Dan. You know, like Steely Dan really sticks out as what was being played in my house. But I really loved like disco and like boogie music, like Evelyn King when I was a kid, you know, like Love Come Down, songs like that that are just very universal, like It just is kind of in my subconscious as a song that I've been hearing since I was a kid, and I still love that song. You know, I think it's like one of the greatest songs ever written.
You know, one other thing I read about Hamilton was that it apparently has quite a noticeable punk rock scene.
Yeah, which
I actually don't know much about, but were there many gigs you could attend, you know, that were a bit more up your taste?
I mean, if people, bands would come to Toronto, then they would probably come to Hamilton because they're so close.
How far is to Toronto from Hamilton?
45-minute drive, maybe.
So it's close, yeah.
I remember going to see, like, that band, The Brazilian Girls, when I was quite young, but
it's kind of synth pop, right?
Yeah, but it's weird. It's kind of jazzy as well. But yeah, I mean, Matias Aguayo came to Hamilton, which was amazing. But you know, people will come and then like only 20 people will show up at the show. So sometimes Hamilton can be hard for live acts to come through. But people do come.
Mm-hmm. You know, if we say a bit about Hyperdub, you know, maybe widely it's not such a known label, but in the underground or alternative music scene is a really popular music label. Did you feel comfortable, you know, being signed to Hyperdub with those? In the past, maybe now it's opening up a bit aesthetically wise, but in the past it was really kind of electronic, really dance electronic, dubstep-ish. Bass kind of music. Did you relate to that, all that stuff? You said earlier that you liked some of the records there.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a way, a lot of what ties together the music that comes out on Hyperdub is that a lot of the music is influenced by R&B in an abstract way. You know, like if you think of like Burial's music, the way he uses vocals and samples, and I think Code 9's music as well. Hype Williams. Too, even though like the music is very weird and very abstract, I think they're very much influenced by it.
You know, Dean Blunt is playing at this festival, Styropor.
I saw on the poster. Yeah, I like him a lot. But he's very strange. But in, you know, a really interesting way. But yeah, I mean, I was nervous that people, you know, wouldn't see how I fit in. But maybe that's a good thing.
I think you fit in perfectly.
Oh, thank you. That's nice of you to say.
It seems that this kind of blend of electronic and R&B is especially popular in UK. You know, first time I was introduced to this more new oriented sound was through James Blake.
Yeah.
Which was about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you know him or his music maybe before you signed to Hyperdub?
Yeah, I'd heard of him for sure because he's very popular. And he did a cover of a Canadian artist, her name's Feist. He did a cover of one of her songs that became very popular. And because she's huge in Canada, the song was big. Mm-hmm. His cover was big. So yeah, he's very popular in North America for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, earlier you were talking that the best thing about traveling is to be able to perform and to meet new people, to play in front of the various audiences. You played in the United States, in UK, in Europe. Where did you get the best response?
Audiences in Spain are usually like very excited, you know? So even if you think that, you know, the show's not going so well, they're always there to kind of like cheer you on, you know? But no, I've had great shows lots of places, and I've had bad shows lots of places, but some really great ones have been in Spain, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, as I said earlier, it seems that this aesthetics or this style of music is especially popular in UK. Can you feel that when you're on stage? You know, that maybe they relate, the British audience relates to this kind of music a bit more than when you play in the States, or even though R&B obviously was started in United States, but maybe this new thing?
Yeah, I mean, even though the label is based in the UK and, you know, I've had a good response there, I haven't played there that much. I played Field Day that was early in June, and the audience was great there. But I wouldn't say that, like, the UK crowd is any more into it than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Places can really surprise you.
I'm particularly interested how this music is perceived in United States, you know, because one of my favorite records this year was by Kelis.
Yeah.
She released a new album, and it was like, also on I think Ninja Tune.
Ninja Tune,
which is,
and it was like with a band, right? Like it was it was different than like previous.
Yeah. Before she worked with Pharrell and those guys.
Yeah, this
now,
was
now no. It's a bit. She went a sound wise a bit more in the past. She said that it's kind of a record where she's remembering her childhood, or maybe listening music she was listening to when she was growing up.
It sounds more like soul music,
You know, and it's funny because she was always better accepted in UK than back home.
You think so?
It seems. I'm pretty sure about that. Yeah, I mean.
I remember her as being huge, like that song Bossy.
She definitely had hit singles, and she was popular. She is popular in the States as well. But maybe compared to, you know, some of these more famous and really superstars of R&B, she isn't that popular.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I thought that maybe this more kind of left field R&B isn't that well accepted. I mean, obviously it is because she is popular, but yeah, as we said, maybe she's a bit more popular in UK. Anyway, we are coming to an end. So maybe you can tell us a bit about the future. Do you plan maybe working on a new album?
Yeah, I am working on a new album. Because I've been away, I haven't really had the time to focus, but when I get home in July, then I'll be able to really like hunker down and hopefully finish some things.
You are not one of those songwriters, you know, who write songs on tours. You know, usually during the day or during the night they play a gig, then before they go to bed or when they wake up, they start writing songs.
Yeah, I can do sketches, but getting real work done is pretty difficult just on my computer because I use so much hardware, which is at home, you know? But but I have a track coming out on the second Hyperdub compilation that's coming out in July. They're doing like a 10-year anniversary compilation series.
Which is this 2-hour special show about the 10th anniversary of Hyperdub, maybe a week ago or so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're huge fans of Hyperdub.
Oh, great. Yeah, so I have a song coming out on that in July.
Nice.
Yeah.
So maybe just for tonight, we can probably expect you to play songs from the album Pull My Hair Back.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely be playing that.
did your live setup maybe change since you started touring?
No, I mean, I changed my delay. I swapped out a delay pedal for a different one, but I have two synths, my computer and a delay pedal. And then I sequence all the drums through Ableton.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so. Just this last question. You know, when can you say to yourself that you had a successful gig, when you get a good response?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if people are dancing and they seem into it, then, you know, I'm happy.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So we'll have to finish it. So thank you very much again.
No, thank you for having me.
Tole je bila torej Jesse Lanca, ki jo danes večer lahko slišite v Urban Roofu v Šiški. Intervju z njo sem pa pripravil Goran Kompoš. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.